Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. If you spent any time at all browsing through your Facebook feed in the months and weeks leading up to the election, you probably noticed that many news stories, both legitimate and let's call them less legitimate, that proliferated on the social network were all over the place. Maybe one of your primary reasons for logging onto Facebook at this point is to read the news, along with keeping up with photos of your cute niece and other more, you know, traditional Facebook functions. But what kind of news were you seeing? Articles from the New York Times, the Huffington Post, and other relatively mainstream media outlets. And then, depending on your Facebook friends and the company's algorithm, you might see, quote, news, I'm using scare quotes there, from shadier sources. These articles are frequently very partisan, often misleading, and sometimes outright false. Take, for example, the headline that millions of people saw that said Pope Francis endorsed Donald Trump. It was totally fake from a made-up news source. But, of course, the correction didn't make it into the news feeds of the millions of people who saw it like the original did. Now, critics of Facebook say the company didn't do enough and isn't doing enough to root out these kinds of fake news stories, and that it may have even tipped the election in Donald Trump's favor. And internally, Facebook employees are wrestling with this question and how to handle it. Mark Zuckerberg himself has weighed in, and New York Times tech reporter Mike Isaac is writing about this. Hi, Mike. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Is there a way to quantify how much fake news there was during the campaign and whether it was qualitatively or quantitatively different than what came before?
Yeah, so I think it's been interesting as this subject has really been broached in the days after the election. Mark Zuckerberg has been particularly defensive on it, more so than I've ever seen him on, you know, in a while at least. Facebook has obviously had its share of controversies. But he said that less than 99% of news on the network is so-called fake news, which, again, is sort of hard to quantify and kind of disingenuous.
Considering he said over – just because I think he misspoke. Mark Zuckerberg said over 99% of the news on Facebook is real news.
Yes, that's correct. Sorry about that. So like 1% – less than 1% is fake news. I'm sorry. I misspoke. But that 1% or less than 1% rather has a reach far beyond you know, the actual quantity of false news that's out there. So the sort of question people are wrestling with now is how far and how fast does that travel, and what sort of effect does that have on folks that just come across it in the newsfeed and don't really distinguish between fake and real when you're just scrolling with your thumb on your phone in the middle of the day.
And Zuckerberg said that it's, quote, pretty crazy to think that Facebook influenced the election in any way. Is anybody actually making that charge that Hillary Clinton would be the president-elect today or not for fake news on Facebook or social media in general?
I think there are a few folks actually saying that. I'm not sure if it's directly fair to say there's a direct corollary between votes and the fake news there. I think the short-sighted thing that Facebook isn't really acknowledging here is the real role it has in shaping discourse and the distribution of information online. Now, one of Facebook's big points, talking points, is that they're a tech company, not a media company. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people this past week, and it's hard to think of really any other company in the past 100 years that has had a greater impact in the distribution of information on a massive scale than Facebook. But you're not going to hear them admit that they're in a media company anytime soon, at least.
And Uber says it's a tech company, not a transportation company.
Right.
And yet the media proliferates, or I should say information proliferates on Facebook. And to what you were just saying, I guess it's a separate problem from fake news. Or maybe it's a related problem, but the algorithm is tailored to what Facebook thinks you want to see based on your past behavior, which often leads users to being part of an echo chamber of similar opinions, which so many critics now have said can help entrench people in their existing opinions. They don't even get exposed to those that are opposed, and leads to more polarization. Has Facebook grappled publicly, and are they grappling privately, according to your reporting, with this as a problem that they need to address for the good of the country?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's really important to delineate here. You know, there's the problem of fake news where, you know, there are outright false articles. But to your point, just, you know, there are different levels of truthiness and in the types of articles we see. And then there's just sort of, you know, what Facebook calls the filter bubble, right, which is what you were sort of saying. You get caught in this echo chamber of, like, hearing the same opinions.
Right.
And there's no motivation to really get outside of it. The problem is Facebook has been fine-tuning itself for 12 years to get as much engagement out of its users as possible. They want you and I to be on the platform all day, every day, as much as we can. And there's not – I might not have the same incentive to go look at Facebook if I'm seeing opinions that I don't agree with, right, or that make me mad and might end up turning me away. So it's really – it's kind of an existential question here for Facebook that they have been grappling with internally, at least, when they see what is their responsibility and is that going to hurt us as a company?
And so just yesterday, I see Facebook and Google announced plans to ban fake news sites from their advertising networks. But in Facebook's case, this won't explicitly block the fake news sites from users' news feeds. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's right. So this was a bit of a I would generously call it a bit of hand waving by them yesterday. Their ad networks essentially serve advertising to websites and apps off of Facebook, right? So like if you are playing Candy Crush, you might get an ad for something. It might show like a news article or a website or something that might be fake. And in the future, Facebook says and Google say they're not going to serve those ads outside. Now, that has nothing to do with the news feed, which, again, like we've been talking about, is what everyone looks at all day, every day, and shapes a lot of this information. So this is not going to be a huge effect on the types of stuff you see, especially if you're a heavy Facebook user. But you can give them some credit, at least, for trying to combat that outside of Facebook.
And to the point of Facebook being or not being a media company, there was a Pew study that found that almost half of American adults get their news from Facebook.
I think at this point, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, in my opinion, it's pretty ridiculous for them to keep claiming they're a tech company, not a media company. Again, I don't know if they're ever going to change their position. But if you sort of acknowledge that you're a media company, then you take on a responsibility for the content on your platform that has not really been there before and that they really never wanted to have a role in, you know. And I can appreciate that because, you know, Facebook doesn't want to be what Mark Zuckerberg calls an arbiter of what is truth. But I think they're in this position where they eventually have to take a stance because it's getting to a fever pitch of folks sort of saying, okay, you can't sort of sit back and be neutral about this because your platform isn't really neutral anymore anyway.
Listeners, you want to weigh in on this with your experiences? If you use Facebook and other social media too, but Facebook is such a dominant social media site that you know, a lot of the focus is on them right now. Do you feel like you have seen, and if so, have you been able to smoke out fake news coming your way via Facebook? And what do you think about the echo chamber question? We have a lot of open-minded people who listen to this show, no matter what your politics are, who I know want to be exposed to different points of view. But do you find yourself on purpose or inadvertently winding up with partisan news feeds for you on Facebook because of what you tend to go to? Maybe you personally, you know, maybe you're more likely to go to Huffington Post or MSNBC or MoveOn.org And then the Facebook algorithm says, aha, a partisan progressive. And then that's all they show you. Do you feel like that's happening to you or any version of that? 212-433-WNYC. As we talk about all this with Mike Isaac from the New York Times, who is reporting on the hand-wringing at Facebook over their possible role in the election campaign of spreading fake news and enhancing the echo chamber effect in American life. And Alexandra in Haverstraw, you're on WNYC. Alexandra, thanks so much for calling.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I am thrilled that you are listening to me, in my opinion. Personally, yes, I do see Facebook as a I see media, but I also – I'm an intelligent adult, and I see that oftentimes we see things that are totally ridiculous to believe in. The headlines are so, so absurd that you do know an intelligent adult will not be swayed by it. I also think that this election was also part fault of the people who chose to stay home and not vote. Let's not blame it on XYZ. There were 90 million Americans that chose not to go out and vote.
Right, as President Obama was emphasizing in the clip that we played earlier in the show, 43% of those who were eligible to vote did not vote. But let's stay on the role of Facebook for this conversation and the role of social media. Alexandra, is there anything more you want to add on that?
I say we need to educate ourselves. Be careful. Yes, there is a lot of stupidity that goes on Facebook. Crazy things that you can choose to believe or not, but it's education, educating the public, getting to know your facts and your sources before you make a concise decision.
Alexandra, thank you so much. Please call us again. And Sergey in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sergey.
Good morning. I think the reason for the proliferation of so many fake news sites is it originated from the fact that the stories being shared on these websites are stories that the mainstream media does not cover. For example, among my conservative friends, if an illegal immigrant kills a hapless white woman, you won't see it on the front page of the Times, but you will see it right up there on a fake news site. And vice versa, among my left-wing friends, stories relating to things like the TPP or Dakota Access Pipeline, you won't see that on the front page of mainstream media, but you will see it on a fake news site. And that's how it started to, you know, grow. And when I try to correct my friends, they said, oh, you're just being partisan. You just disagree with me. And they continue to share them.
Sergey, thank you. I think you make a great point, partly because part of what news is and what makes media bias or, more generously, journalistic judgment in an earnest, legitimate sense is choosing what to talk about, not just sort of what side you come down on it. What do you think, Mike, about that point as somebody who's covering this issue and also as somebody who works for a major news organization like the New York Times?
Yeah, that's totally right. I think part of any news outlet's sort of mandate is really news selection and deciding what is worth covering and not worth covering. And, you know, I'll be totally candid. In the wake of this election, I think media report, you know, mass media, mainstream media reporters are really questioning, just as Facebook and just as sort of any media organization, just as, are questioning the role that they had and the types of coverage that they had. You know, did we do this right? Should we have covered different things or in different ways? And I think you're always going to get that from reporters that are introspective and want to do their jobs right. But Sergey is totally right. Like the choice of what to cover and how to cover it totally plays a part in all of this.
And your colleague, John Herman, and I think this goes somewhat to the caller's point about stories that seem to be hidden even though they were real. Your colleague, John Herman, published a piece last week called Online Everything is Alternative Media. And he was referring to the fact that alternative, some would say fringy news sources, were often as influential, had as many or more clicks or likes or shares than established mainstream news sources on the social network. And BuzzFeed has reported on the huge reach of what they call hyperpartisan Facebook pages and websites. They have names like Eagle Rising and Occupy Democrats. And people see these articles from those sites in their news feeds right alongside content from the New York Times and the Washington Post. But if you talk to an opinionated progressive or an opinionated conservative, they're probably both looking for alternative news because they don't trust the quote-unquote MSM.
That's exactly right. I think a few things are going on here. One, like you said, these will appear in the news feed alongside of, you know, my outlet, the New York Times, and they're all sort of on a level playing field in that sense. And then I think there's a tendency to sort of seek what you identify with. And if there's a sort of hyper-partisan site that's really going deep on an issue that a person cares about, they're going to seek that sort of content out. And then Facebook, you know, as we know, sort of reinforces that choice by serving up more of that. So it's kind of a cycle that you get into. The other thing I think that plays here is that, you know, mainstream media is way behind on its use and sort of understanding of social media sites, especially Facebook, and how to use that to your advantage of driving readership. Far behind some of these smaller niche sites or hyper-partisan sites that really have mastered reach and viral spread across Facebook.
All right. Well, we will see what Facebook comes up with going forward. But as time goes on, we become more sophisticated about the impacts of social media, the pros and the cons. I mean, this is a world, you know, even before the rise of Facebook, where a majority of Americans polled, if I'm not mistaken, after the Iraq War was launched, believed that Iraq was responsible for 9/11, which it wasn't, which was based much more on pre-social media reporting and misinformation and misunderstanding. So it's not a new question, but certainly the proliferation of social media and the ease with which things that are fake, either because people are being duped or because people are plotting to spread fake news, gets around. So we thank Mike Isaac from the New York Times, who's been writing about this, for having this conversation with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks. It's always a pleasure.
And very pleased to say that our next guest will be John Edgar Wideman. Stay with us.